Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Monica, and I lead the Hopewell House Church with my husband. So let's go to the app, and I'll pray the opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, make me constant, not like the crowd that yelled Hosanna before Passover and crucify him a few days later. Let me not crucify your son again by my actions. As Easter approaches, I pray for faithfulness, even in challenging circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we'll be watching a video that takes us through the passage of Mark 15, 1 to 20.
And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him.
And I'll read the devotion. When Jesus was brought before Pilate for interrogation, Jesus straightly admitted his identity without fear. The Jewish council slandered Jesus out of jealousy. As an excuse, they accused him of blasphemy. But then when he confronted the Roman governor, they changed their accusation to a political one. Jesus claims himself the King of Jews. They would rather have the fiend Barabbas to be released than Jesus, whom they fervently wanted to put to death. What is the rationale? Apparently, jealousy deceives people. May the Lord safely guide our heart. Moreover, Jesus' silence under false accusation had fulfilled the prophecy in the book Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened his mouth. Christ the Lord, who possessed the absolute authority to judge the world, was interrogated unjustly by sinners. Jesus endured such humiliation for the sake of redeeming the life of you and me. Okay. So it's my turn to share a short devotional. And my husband and I have been attending some of the Alpha sessions with our neighbors. And the last Alpha session was on the topic of prayer. And as I was reflecting on today's passage, I thought there was an insight on prayer that could be drawn from this story. In this passage, we see a crowd, and they're crying out, Barabbas, and crucify Jesus. Barabbas represents the things we seek and pray for, that we think will be good for us. But sometimes we are deceived. We actually don't know what's good for us, because we could be motivated by sin, self-pleasure, greed, by our brokenness, and we forget about the goodness of God. And we often ask God for things that give us immediate relief and pleasure, and we seek all of these instead of seeking God's will for our lives. And now on the flip side, sometimes we are like the few in the crowd we cannot see in the story. We know from scripture that there were those who dearly loved Jesus, and I'm sure they were in the crowd just horrified with what was going on, and they wanted to save him. They wanted to desperately cry out, you know, save Jesus, save Jesus. But they were completely drowned out by the mass, the main voice, which was to release Barabbas. It's a situation that seems dire and lost, and there was nothing they could do. And all they could do was watch Jesus breathe his last and pass away. And sometimes it's like that. You know, we, in our prayer life, we cry out to God and we feel unheard and we feel defeated and we lose hope. And we see no change to our circumstances. But we know there's more to this story, just simply because we know this, the amazing story of the gospel. God had a plan. He was in motion, and he raised Jesus from the dead and restored hope to this world. I wanted to encourage those today who have felt discouraged in their prayer or are feeling defeated by their circumstances. Just like this passage, Jesus's death was not the end of the story. God is working in our lives even when we don't feel like he is. And I also wanted to encourage those who may identify with the main crowd, those who are crying out for Barabbas, who represents the things we want in our lives that are not of God's will. Just want to say, you know, God's great love is unconditional, and Jesus chose to give his life for us even when we're blinded. And God's goodness, his promises, and his intimacy are true for us as well. He still extends his grace and his kindness and mercy whenever we go to him, and he comes when we invite him into our lives. So we worship, I'd like to invite Thaddeus to get ready. Let's go to him. Let's go to Jesus. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to lead us in a time of reflection. As you saw in the video, what that crowd looked like. I'm sure when Jesus was standing there during his trial, he saw those faces. He saw the people crying out for Barabbas, and he also saw those crying out for him. And he died for everyone, not just for those who wanted him, but for those who also rejected him in that moment. So let's remember that the amazing grace that and love that he has for us, and how he is working in our midst, even if we have no idea what we want, or we're blinded by our circumstances. God, he doesn't slumber. He doesn't leave us hanging. God is for us, and he promises that he will help us in our time of need. God is our keeper, our shade, and he will keep us from harm and watch over us now and forevermore. So I'll just have Thaddeus start worship. Thank you.
All I am is yours. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you.
Let's read through the intercessory prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for asylum seekers and refugees in our society. Help us to attach value to their lives and help them to find a future where they can live without fear of persecution or harm. Bless those who minister to this group. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's turn to the community prayers for today. Let's pray for those whose family members have cancer and are going through treatment. Let's pray for those who are feeling unwell, but more importantly, need salvation. So let's cover them. Cover those who are on the infirmities list. Some of these are our family members, some of these are our church members. So let's just cover them today. Let's pray for those who are seeking employment. Andrew, Jenny, Janie, Brenda, and Bea. Go to our daily prayers. Today's mission focus is on China, and let's cover SP Beijing, SP Shanghai, the Chongs, and the churches in China. So a time of praying for the Lord, and just pray that they will lead well, and all the decisions will be God-led, and for protection for them and their families. And number three, let's cover the fellowship ministries, the young adults ministry, the men's ministry, and the women's ministry. SP 2.0, we're praying for building and resources, a benefactor, and for our vision fund. And let's cover Hong Kong in this time. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray for those who have lost jobs in the time of COVID, or who have people who have friends or family who are recovering from the virus. Let's pray for all those frontliners. Pray for our city in this time. God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you that it is a day that you have made. And that your mercies are new every morning. We come to you humbly and invite you into our day. Lead us today, Lord, wherever we may be, whatever we may have to do. Help us to know, Lord, that your love and your kindness and your compassion is there readily available. We thank you that you gave your son Jesus for us. And even though it probably broke your heart, God, you sent your son to die for us and die such an unjust death, Lord. But we thank you that you did that for us, and you did that not just for in the times where we do the right thing or obey you, but for the times even when we are lost, even when we reject you. And so we are amazed by your incredible love and incredible grace. Thank you, God. I just want to bless everyone as they go about the day. We're looking forward to resuming church in person. I just pray that you watch over all the people organizing and protect our church, Lord, in this time. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay. Have a good day, everyone. Bye.